numbers in our business report. Iraq's government wants to strike a deal with the U.S. for a long-term troop presence in the war-torn country. The agreement would include preferential treatment for American investments in Iraq. Lieutenant General Douglas Lute, President Bush's war advisor, said formal negotiations on the agreement will happen next year. Iraq's military is improving, but not as quickly as predicted. That's according to the U.S. general in charge of training Iraqi forces. A drawdown of American troops is tied to Iraq's ability to assume control. The weather is lending a helping hand in fighting the fires in Malibu, California, where over 50 homes burned over the weekend. A cool breeze from the Pacific, along with high humidity, is allowing firefighters to get the upper hand on the blaze that destroyed nearly 5,000 acres. The Senate's number two ranking Republican is stepping down. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott announced he will end his 35-year career before January. Lott is the sixth Senate Republican to step down this year. A day after returning from exile, ousted Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif registered to run in Pakistan's parliamentary elections next month. Current President General Pervez Musharraf prepares to step down as Army Chief sometime this week, and former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto also registered as a candidate. Twin suicide bombings in Pakistan killed more than 20 policemen, ratcheting up pressure on Musharraf. 40 people were wounded, many of them critically. Unexpectedly, Syria has agreed to attend tomorrow's one-day peace summit in Maryland designed to end the 60-year conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. And in Gaza today, an Israeli airstrike has killed one Hamas militant and wounded four others. Rain and fog on the East Coast prevented many holiday travelers from heading home today after the long Thanksgiving weekend, according to AAA. A record 38 million Americans traveled over the Thanksgiving holiday. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business next.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, the 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Philips unveiled a new scanner that reportedly produces 3D body images of unprecedented clarity and reduces radiation by about 80%. The new machine supposedly takes a fraction of the time to capture the images, less than a minute for a full body scan. It's the largest accumulation of dioxin ever found in U.S. waterways. Downstream from a Michigan Dow chemical plant at the bottom of the Saginaw River, dioxin is linked to cancer and other illnesses. Bigger than expected crowds filled stores for the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. Retailers are hoping customers will keep up the buying, which was up 7% from a year ago. China will buy $15 billion worth of airplanes from European manufacturer Airbus. The 160-aircraft deal was announced during the first visit of French President Nicolas Sarkozy. On Asian markets today, gold jumped to nearly $829 an ounce as investors anticipated another cut in U.S. interest rates. Platinum hit record highs. And gold is currently trading up $1.80 at $826 an ounce. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $97.70 a barrel. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 237 points at 12,743. The Nasdaq was down 55 points and the S&P 500, 33 points.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, head on with Bob Kincaid
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome aboard. I feel like I haven't done this in almost a week. That's largely because I haven't, and I'm still getting over Thanksgiving dinner. My center of gravity changed. I'm sure yours did as well. It's time to get over the joviality and the fun and the frivolity and the gosh, I love my family and all of that stuff, and get back to the business of dealing with the life in Bushmerica, right? But just for the fun of things, you have to find your fun, your pleasure, your joviality where you can find it along the way. And you know what? Sometimes I like Spam. No, not the pressed meat product, the stuff that worms its way into your email inbox. I've got one here from Krista Kressler, who doesn't know that her email has probably been stolen somewhere along the way. But the subject line on it is Hammer Gloves Banana Crystal Chief. You know, that's almost haiku. Hammer Gloves Banana Crystal Chief. Hammer Gloves Banana Crystal Chief. I love those. Okay, but, you know, we've enjoyed it, so that's enough of you. Off to the blocked senders list. Hammer Banana Gloves Crystal Chief. That's the password for tonight, Agent Fred. That's the secret message. Hammer, Banana Gloves, Crystal Chief. Ooh, what does it mean, Agent Fred? What does it mean? What kind of diabolical, left-wing, liberal messages are we sending out over the internets, Agent Fred? Hammer, Banana Gloves, Crystal Chief. So it being Monday here, but Tuesday in Australia, I can guarantee you will hear some hooting, hollering, and generalized happy noises long about midnight Eastern when John Fox comes your way with all foxed up, since the good people of Australia apparently came to their senses and dumped John Howard, not only his government, but him himself, from the government. That's going to pose a problem for the Bush administration, since he'll no longer have a little toad in power who can be a coalition partner in the war on terror. Oopsie. We're getting down to where it's just about nobody but us and the Moroccan monkeys at this point, right? Yes, I said it. Hammer Banana Gloves Crystal Chief. That's code, Agent Fred, for George Bush is running out of allies. So stick around and make sure you're there for All Foxed Up this evening. You know, the regular schedule resumes this evening, and we'll continue onward. Guy James will be back at his regular time tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern. Mark Levine will be back at his regular time at 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. We're back in the saddle. We're back in the swing of things again here on the cutting edge of being the liberal media. Now, where do you want to start tonight? Shall we start with Trent Lott? Because I got a couple of stories here that just kind of make me wonder. You know that Trent Lott has announced his his retirement. He's going to retire. He's going to retire from screwing the people of Mississippi and generally the people of America. After a 35-year career of being generally vile, rotten, and evil. Right, you get that. But why? You know, I read that story this morning, and I went,
Well, you know, that's a way to start, the nice way to start the first Monday after Thanksgiving, finding out that an evil sack of dung like Trent Lott is going to take him, his bad hairpiece, and shuffle on down the road. But why? Why? And then, of course, I wandered over to our good buddies at WD40.com, and they point out that, and this is a quote from the story, while the exact reason Lott is stepping down before he finishes his term is unknown, the general speculation is that a quick departure immunizes Lott. God, it immunizes him. Immunizes Lott against tougher restrictions in a new lobbying law that takes effect at the end of the year. That law would require senators to wait 2 years before entering the lucrative world of lobbying Congress. In other words, he'd have to wait 2 years to go out and sell his soul to the highest bidder in the pharmaceutical industry or the bomb building industry or whatever. He'd have to wait 2 years if he didn't resign now. But, you know, I'm still not satisfied with that. Because do you remember, what was it, a month ago or so? Maybe more than a month ago? When Larry Flint announced he was going to have a big bombshell to drop soon, and that it would make a considerable splash because it was going to be a big one? Doesn't this just seem a little bit convenient? What kind of photographs did Larry Flint show to Trent Lott? Was it Leather Trent? Was it Little Boy Trent? Was it, I don't know, a picture of him and David Vitter all done up in their, oh my God, I can't even contemplate it. Nah, somewhere along the way, I think somebody's gotten to Trent. The lobbying excuse is a convenient sort of thing. But, you know, these things all work together, and I saw a story today at the same time that I was looking at the story about, you know, Trent Lott, I saw a story about Afghanistan. Headline, Afghan boy dancers sexually abused by former warlords. Now, who's a big backer of the war in Afghanistan? Isn't Trent Lott a big backer of the war in Afghanistan? Dateline Pul-e-Kumri, Afghanistan. They are known as Bacha Berish. This from Reuters, by the way. They are known as Bacha Berish, which translates out of whatever language that is to boys without beards. Teenage boys who dress up as girls and dance for male patrons at parties in northern Afghanistan. No, I'm sorry. I think this all sort of dovetails together. Probably shouldn't say dovetail. Daisy chains either. You know, this just works out. What do you want to bet Trent Lott winds up being a lobbyist for the Afghan Department of Pul-e-Kumri there on K Street in Washington? Teenage boys dress up as girls and dance for male patrons at parties in northern Afghanistan. The story says it's an age-old practice, and we're talking about centuries upon centuries upon centuries upon millennia here, that has led to some of the boy dancers being turned into sex slaves by wealthy and powerful patrons. God, this sounds like it was ripped right out of the pages of the Republican National Handbook, doesn't it? Often former warlords, well, there you go, who dress the little boys up as girls, shower them with gifts, and keep them as mistresses. Dang. That just sounds like any given day at Republican National Committee headquarters. Afghan police are battling to crack down. No, don't see. When you write a story like this, you can't use words like crack. Afghan police are battling to crack down on the practice, which has angered Islamic clerics, who say those involved should be stoned for sodomy, forbidden under Islamic law. But in northern Afghanistan, former warlords and Mujahideen commanders have taken the whole process a step further with competitions for their dancing boys. Oh, Lordy, you just know where George Bush is going next time he travels to Afghanistan, don't you? Every boy tries to be the first. They are dressed in women's clothes, have bells on their feet, and have artificial breasts, said Mohammed Yawar, a former Mujahideen fighter against the Taliban and a resident of the northern town of Pul-e-Kumri. You know, call it Kumri. Quit calling it Pulley. The practice called Bacha Bazi, literally that's translated as boy play, has a long history in northern Afghanistan. Sometimes it doesn't stop with... I love the salacious quality of this. Sometimes it doesn't stop with just dancing. No! Quote, I very much enjoy hugging a boy. His smell and fragrance kills me, said Mohammed Yawar. He's a 38-year-old businessman, Mohammed Yawar is. He recruited a 15-year-old boy 3 years ago to help him with his work. That's his longtime companion. I have had him for at least 3 years. Since he was only 15, he was looking for a job, and I gave him somewhere to stay, said Yawar, showing the reporter the little boy's picture. I don't have a wife. He's like my wife. I dress him in women's clothes and have him sleep beside me. I enjoy him, and he is my everything, he said, kissing the photograph. Woo! Where's Ted Haggard? I want an immediate examination of the passenger manifests of all planes headed from the United States for Afghanistan, and I want to see how many... Oh, didn't Rush Limbaugh go on a USO tour, like, recently? Or was that Bill O'Reilly? Or was it both of them? And did they go to Afghanistan? And did they go to, Pul-e-Tali, or whatever the name of this place is? It's apparently a status symbol in Afghanistan to have a boy toy. Everyone tries to have the best, most handsome and good-looking boy, said a former Mujahideen commander who declined to be named. You know, doesn't this finally put to rest the idea that, I'll leave that for, no. Sometimes we gather and make our boys dance, and whoever wins, this boy will be the best boy. former Mujahideen commanders hold such parties in and around Pul-e-Tali, or Pul-e-Kumri. No, don't say that either, Bob. Kumri? Aw, please, this is a joke, right? This is out of the Onion? About once a week they have these parties. Having a boy has become a custom for us. Whoever wants to show off should have a boy, said Aniatullah, a 42-year-old landowner in Bagtan province. I was married to a woman 20 years ago. She left me because of my boy. I was playing with my boy every night and was away from home. Eventually, my wife decided to leave me. I am happy with my decision because I am used to sleeping and entertaining with my young boy. Honest to God, this is like reading a rap sheet from a Republican arrest. One boy said, I was only 14 years old when a former Uzbek commander forced me to have sex with him. That's Shir Mohammed in Sar-e-Pol province. Again, we got Kumri, we got Pulley, we got Pol. Please! Later, I quit my family and became his secretary. I have been with him for 10 years. I am now grown up, but he still loves me, and I sleep with him, and I take great dictation. Ahmad Jawad, he's 17 years old. He's been with his wealthy landowner for the past 2 years. I'm used to it. I love my lord. I'd love to dance and act like a woman and play with my owner. What do you want? So the reporter said, well, little boy, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he said, once I grow up, I will be an owner and I will have my own boys. Then again, there's poor Shir Mohammed, 24 years old. Already getting too old to be a dancing boy. He said, I am grown up now.
and do not have the beauty of former years. So I propose to marry my lord's daughter, and he has agreed to it.
You know, this seems kind of outrageous, right? It's hard to imagine in the 21st century, on this sweet little blue-green marble hurtling through time and space and the universe in general, it's kind of hard to imagine that this still goes on, that little boys are sold into slavery. I mean, I just finished a marvelous, marvelous book by Mary Raynaud, published 1960, called The Mask of Apollo. She wrote other great books. She wrote The King Must Die and The Bull from the Sea and The Last of the Wine. And she wrote one called The Persian Boy that is about a young boy who is basically given as a plaything to Alexander the Great. Marvelous book. But it's marvelous because you go, okay, well, this is, you know, I mean, hell, this is 300 B.C. I mean, they did that kind of thing. I mean, you know, the kids got married off at 11 and, you know, arranged marriages. And then you go, holy crap, that's still going on. And it sounds like something the Republicans would do. It's pathetic. Little boys are sold to be involuntarily transgendered, largely as a function of poverty and trying to keep a warlord from killing the rest of the family. It's literally the Afghani equivalent of, sure do got a purty mouth, squeal like a pig, pull them down, panties too. Ding, 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 ding. One person, one Afghan who is shocked, I tell you, to find out that there's pederasty going on in Afghanistan, said, if they don't stop this, it will become a custom and hundreds of other boys will be involved in it. Oh, dude, wake up and smell the hummus. It's been going on for thousands of years. Pederasty is a cultural custom in your country, buddy. Police and security officials in northern Afghanistan say they've been doing their best to arrest the men involved. It is sad to state that this practice that includes making boys dance, sexual abuse, and sometimes even selling boys has been going on for years, said General Azadollah Armakil, the security chief of Kunduz province. Boy, it's just one proper name problem after another, isn't it? We've taken steps to stop the extent that we are able. And yes, he too cites poverty as the leading problem relating to this issue. 15-year jail terms, that kind of thing. We have 25 cases of such immoral acts that are being processed, and we are trying our utmost. Do you remember? Hey, wait. There's a little buried lead in the story. Remember back a couple of pages ago when I mentioned the one boy who said he was captured by an Uzbek warlord? You remember the Uzbeks, don't you? They're our buddies. They're our pals. They are our friends. Because the leader of what is it? Is it Uzbekistan? Yeah, I think it is Uzbekistan. It's their leader that we do business with on a routine basis, and he's a brutal dictator who boils his political opponents alive. Yeah, you know, a brutal dictator who kills his own people. Yeah. Just check it. Yeah, that's us. And finally, sort of the icing on the cake. Some of the men say they're not interested in women. We know it is immoral and un-Islamic, but how can we quit? We do not like women. We just want boys. That was Shaman Ghul, aged 35, of Takhar province. Jesus, it sounds like confession day at the priest seminary, doesn't it? You watch. You'll read a story about Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Trent Lott taking a fact-finding trip to the wilds of Afghanistan. And what are the words we're going to look for? We're going to try to remember. I guess this is Pashtun or Uzbek or something. Bacha Barish.
My friends, I've been to Afghanistan, and I want to tell you, I sampled some of the local delicacies there. I had something called Bacha Barish, and let me tell you, my friends, it was fabulous.
That means boys without beards. Bacha Barish. Bacha Barish. I bet you within a year, Flush Flimball mentions having a delicacy called Bacha Barish on his latest USO tour to support the troops in Afghanistan.
And then they brought me another little side dish called Bacha Bazi. Now, my friends, I don't speak the language. But I want to tell you this Bacha Bazi, it was fabulous.
Bacha Bazi are the words, of course, for boy play. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Look at any young boy that you know and imagine that had that child not been born in America or some other portion of the civilized world, he might very well have been sold into sexual slavery by one of George Bush's allies. Because they are, after all, our allies. These are the guys who keep Hamid Karzai's neck firmly affixed to Hamid Karzai's shoulders, after all. A little creeped out. I'm a little creeped out. Oh, who am I trying to kid? I'm a lot creeped out. So, let's see, just to review, the Saudis whip a woman for being in the presence of her gang rapists because she has been impious, while the Afghans are selling their sons as dancing boys for warlords. Great. Yeah. Got it. Oh, somebody cue up the kinks for me. Oh, I don't have it. Doggone it. I could look. Nope, no kinks. No Lola. Sorry. Shall we try again? Sure, why not? Come on. Come on. This is when it gets a little bit frustrating. Oh, well. We'll play fun with bumper music later. In the meantime, we'll take a quick break. And we'll come back and go to your phone calls, 877-443-2366. That's toll-free if you'd like for us to carry the freight. If you've got a long-distance calling plan of your own, 304-658-5453 is the direct dial number. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we're back.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. Now, he's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here, on the Horn, Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
What does Alison Krauss remember about music class when she was a kid?
My fondest memory of music class is kind of just an overall memory, not a specific instance, because music was something completely different than any other class in school. It was, I remember it as all being fun, and the reward wasn't, you know, a great test score, and it wasn't a higher grade. It was getting to be a part of an ensemble and singing something at the end where everybody knew their part. It was all fun and games to me, and you made friends. You know, I found that you made friends that lasted really long time, at least the ones that, for me, that have lasted the longest are ones that I met in school chorus or in music classes and not who I sat next to in math.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Afghani National Anthem. Well, not to worry, though, because there's another story in the stack that indicates that we're really not that threatened by all of this, because, after all, most American students couldn't find Afghanistan with both hands, so to speak. In fact, that's the lead story from the Chicago Tribune story. Dateline New York, when it comes to geography, Americans can't tell Kyrgyzstan from Kansas. Well, I tell you what, Chicago Tribune, buddy. Here's how you tell Kyrgyzstan from Kansas. They don't force little boys to cross-dress and put bells on their feet and dance for their warlord masters in Kansas. Yet.
But, you know, that could only be a matter of, you know, a couple of years away, depending on how the fundies have their way. And I hear things are pretty kinky at Fred Phelps's little church anyway. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good buddy Kevin calling from Brooklyn. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I was just watching the news. You heard Dick Cheney is back in the hospital again.
I heard some story about during a routine visit they discovered he had a heart.
Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah.
I think he's about to resign due to health.
Is this the end game, you think?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of resignations. You know, I think all the assets have been moved to Dubai. And come on. He's not running for president. This whole administration is a failure. He's out of here.
Come on. Say it with me, Kevin.
Vice President Jeb, yep. I would not be surprised.
You know, I mean, this all came upon me so suddenly. I had to have somebody I could trust. And, well, you know, it wouldn't be fair to the rest of the people running for president if I was to name one of them my vice president. So I just went to my baby brother.
Yeah.
That's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, is he in the hospital or going back or...
No. According to the NBC, the motorcade went to George Washington Hospital.
Okay, because the story I had earlier says, he was irregular heartbeat was found during a doctor's visit on Monday morning. And then it says he will be in the hospital. He will visit the hospital for more evaluation on Monday. It's not the best of reporting from Reuters on that brief story. He went in because of a lingering cough from a cold. God, this is just getting more and more Soviet sounding, isn't it?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Comrade Cheney had lingering cough from lingering cold and went in and found he had irregular heart rhythm.
One question, though, if he was to appoint Jeb as vice president, Jeb couldn't run anyway.
Why not?
They keep on saying that it's way too late for Gore. I figure the same rules will apply for him.
Oh, no. There's a whole different universe of rules for Republicans, Kevin. I mean, you know that.
Well, technically, Gore could just throw his hat in at the convention.
I guess, yeah. But, dude, I mean, you know, like remember, they've already got Jeb's signs printed. There were some of them that were conveniently kept out of view at the Republican National Convention in 2004, and they said Jeb 08.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate to just run off on this little speculative express, but it's kind of fun. This has been predicted on this network. That, you know, Cheney would need to spend more time with his family or go home to, you know, raise the grandbaby, or, you know, his wife would need to run off to Montana and make one of those dead human hair wreaths or something that she was for all the time writing about in her little porno novels. Really, she did that, but we won't revisit that. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, though, was, you know, the United States has this arrogance in being, like, the great importer of democracy onto the world. And, you know, I've been, like, rewinding my mental tapes of history now. And the only two countries I can think that the United States has truly installed democracy was Japan and Germany after World War II. And those were under democratic administration.
But they had democracies before they were taken over by dictators, too.
Yeah.
So it was more like a restoration and not a direct imposition.
Yeah. If anything, England has done more to promote democracy in the world than any other country. Because when you think of it, the world's largest democracy is India, Canada, Australia, the Caribbean islands. The only place England really failed was Africa.
Well, to say that they didn't really fail, though, did they? They got everything they wanted.
Well, financially, but I'm saying, you know, as far as the moral high ground of them promoting democracy in the form of an empire, but still.
You mean, yeah, well, I guess you would say India is the shining example there, if you're going to have one. We're not exactly in the same timeline, and I don't know if we qualify anymore after you know, nearly 8 years of George Bush anyway.
I just say, you know, United States has failed drastically at it. Because if you look at almost every country with heavy U.S. involvement, it's a dictatorship. Look at Latin America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you've got tides of indigenous democracy. And, you know, never mind how many times the State Department and kind of sleazy Rice call it, hey, they're going to be left-wing dictatorships. I don't do Condi Rice, so I just have to do George Bush doing Condi Rice. You know, no, these are popularly elected people, from the Prime Minister of Chile to Hugo Chavez, to the guy in Bolivia, to, what's his name, De Silva in Brazil.
Yeah. These are way and the thing is, they try to overthrow Chavez of Venezuela like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and I think there's some sort of a referendum still going on, and I'm sure we're meddling in that too. It's something that's kind of hard for us to avoid. It's like it's in our blood or something.
You know, to me, it's a total quagmire. You know, when I was out in Minnesota over the summer, and I talked about Chavez, they're like, "Oh, he's a dictator, and he's this, and he's that." I'm like, you know, because I accidentally went to sicko gas stations in front of one of my former colleagues out in Minnesota. And they're like, "Why are you going to support a Venezuelan company? Why don't you go to Exxon?" I'm like, these people...
Yeah, because the Saudis are our buddies, right? Sure.
Yeah.
200 lashes for getting raped. Yeah, I want to support that.
Yeah. Not only that, Chavez is giving free heating oil to poor people in the Northeast. And...
He was just doing that for public relations.
Yeah.
Screw it. I don't care why he's doing it. Does the stuff burn? Does it keep the house warm? Cool.
Yeah. What was that guy who owned Chevron doing for poor people? The $500 million bonus?
Oh. yeah, the poor can eat each other.
I call him Fat Bastard because he looks like Fat Bastard. Literally.
Yeah, I get the point.
Yeah, and you figure with $500 million, he'll have a better set of teeth.
Just not on the priority list. You know, when you're that rich, you can have bad teeth, and people will tell you they're really pearly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Bob, that's all I had to say. I just wanted to scoop you in on a few things, especially the Cheney thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I appreciate it. I didn't know that it had been updated to indicate that... he was actually hospitalized.
Yeah, he checked in.
All right, well, thanks, Kevin.
No problem.
Take care now.
Okay, buddy.
Bye. Kevin calling from Brooklyn. I had, to be brutally honest, I had seen, I saw the earlier story saying that, you know, he went over a lingering cough from lingering cold, and they found an abnormal heart rhythm involving upper chambers of heart. I didn't see that he had been admitted. But it's hard to look at this story and not ask a couple of basic questions. Question one. If Cheney had been a poor a middle-class American child, would they have discovered the abnormal heart rhythm? Because, of course, children have cardiac rhythm abnormalities too, don't they? Yes, they do. If he was a middle-class, working-class kid whose mom and daddy were both working 2 or 3 jobs, none of which afforded them health care, well, that kid would just have to drop dead, and mommy and daddy said, "What's wrong with our baby's gone? What happened?" Yeah, well, America can't afford health care for your child, sir, madam. God bless America, 9/11. Really? I mean, honest to God, that's about the size of it, isn't it? Why does Dick Cheney get to have better health care than a 12-year-old American boy or a 12-year-old American girl? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything. Just saying. Doesn't seem like too much of a stretch to me to say that any given American child deserves as good a health care as a worn-out old draft dodger gets. Am I just off the deep end here? What kind of baby splitting are we asking America to do here, that we make moral choices that give health care the best in the world to a hateful old murderer like Dick Cheney, but we tell a child with all the promise and potential of youth that they don't deserve it because the war gets all the money? The hell's wrong with us? Yeah, I mean, isn't that the nature of the equation here? Haven't we, as a matter of public policy, not we, not you, not me, we weren't like that, but as a matter of public policy, did not the phony president of the United States of America determine that blowing up children was worth more money than healing them? Sure as hell looks to me like that was what we decided. And it kind of, I mean, granted, I ate way too much on Thanksgiving Day. But this really, really nauseates me. Every time I see where one of these elected officials has gotten health care that somebody else in America could not have, I realize how far our once great nation has fallen. Every time I realize that this nation has made a value judgment that the health of Joe Lieberman is more important than the health of a child in the Delta in Mississippi, that the health of Dick Cheney is more important than the health of a child in the Bronx, that the health of George W. Bush is more important than the health of any child in America, then I know that we are, and I don't want to get all religious and fuzzy or anything, but I know that we are karmically screwed. I mean, stick a fork in us and turn us over, because, baby, we are done. You realize, of course, that there is no heroic measure that would not be taken, no matter the cost. This is literally a question of cost being no object to keep stinking, draft-dodging Dick Cheney's miserable, hateful old bile and hate and the sin-infested heart beating. Cost is not an object. On the other hand, if we're talking about children's health care, cost is an object. Cost is such an object that it's such a big object that it's not even, we can't even talk about it without repiglic and getting all nasty and upset and so forth. We got trouble in River City. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, who have I got?
Hi.
Hey, Juanita, how are you, dear?
You recognize my voice?
I'm very good at that.
My corny voice.
I recognize everybody's voice just about.
I don't know if you know, but I've been predicting about Jeb 2 to 3 years now or more.
Well, you and I are in the same boat then, because I've said that the Bush family is not going to go gently into that good night.
And he's been showing his ugly head lately. He was on C-SPAN with Karl Rove Did you see that?
I'm grateful to say no, I did not.
Well, I didn't think I was going to watch it, but it was very interesting because they were on with, I guess it was like a counterpoint. It was with Max Cleveland and some general.
Okay.
And the general had thought we were right to go into the war, but he was really down on the way everything was being handled. And I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but it was really interesting to listen to all of them. And, of course, when they were saying, you know, things weren't working over there, and Karl Rove was saying, well, the Jeff, you know, look how long it took our country to, you know, start working, and blah, 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 you know, such a bunch of baloney. But why was he and Jeb together for some reason? You know, it was something, I couldn't believe it, but it was interesting to watch. I didn't think I could stand to watch it, but it was very interesting. And, no, I said that on Guy James' show a number of times, and that I really believe that, because I'm like, yeah, these people are, I didn't know anybody else thought like I did.
Well, I mean, you can hear the excuse, can't you? You know, I couldn't pick one of the people who's running because that just wouldn't be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I really believe it. Some way they're going to try to get him in or will get him in. I hope they're unsuccessful.
Juanita, I saw the signs at the 2004 Republican Convention in New York. I wasn't there, but there was a brief camera moment when the camera panned over, I guess accidentally, because, I mean, it was gone before you could have caught, almost before you could catch it, and there was a little cancerous cluster of Republicans sitting there with signs that said Jeb 08.
Uh-huh.
The signs are already printed, Juanita.
Oh, okay.
They've been printed for 4 years.
Okay. Well, I think I've been saying at least 3 years, if not longer. But anyway, you know, he's very well spoken, and a lot of people are fooled by, oh, well, you know, at least he'd be well spoken. But, you know, there's so many things that he has been involved in and all. I don't know if a lot of people don't know that he was helped Arnold Schwarzenegger to get elected. He was behind all that.
Well, and he also was inside with a bunch of really, really shady, slippery land deals in Florida. He's got pals who are mobbed up in the Cuban community organized crime syndicates. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. Somebody has written a book lately about it, and some reporter, and I don't know if I just saw him on C-SPAN or if I heard somebody interviewing him. You don't interview writers, right?
Well, I do from time to time when the book is worth doing, but I haven't lately.
That one might be worth it.
Well, if you can find out the author and the title, shoot it along to me, and I'll do my best.
Yeah, it's a reporter from Florida, and he was in Tallahassee, and ask Randy Rubbs how he did the people who were trying to protest Cheney. He got all those guys wearing the helmets and all, and they had the rubber bullets and all.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy from her show when she was in Miami, or wherever she was here. Anyway, when she had a radio show here in Florida.
Right.
And the guys on her show went, I guess he was a photographer, and he got shot with those bullets. And all it was mostly people, you know, the elderly people and maybe a few young people. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of people, and it wasn't anybody that could have fought back. But, I mean, he had them, and they had all those helmets and everything on. I don't know if that's well known or not.
Oh, Lord.
We need to get all that out.
Yes, we do.
You know, so everybody will know, because even people who don't like Bush will say, oh, well, his brother's so well-spoken, you know, and he did a good job in Florida. No, he didn't.
Well, and see, that's the way the con runs, Juanita.
Uh-huh.
The way they run it this time through is, well, okay, we know, yeah, we're sorry, you know, George wasn't very smart, he wasn't a very good president, but look, here's the smart one.
Right, right.
But of course, calling Jeb Bush the smart one, comparing him to W., you know, it's like saying Jethro Bodine is the smart one.
Mm.
I can do my gazintas.
I'd rather have him.
I can do my ciphers and my gazintas.
I think I'd rather have Jethro, wouldn't you?
You know, there's something charmingly trustworthy about Jethro Bodine. Yeah. I just want to sit. Wait a minute. We've got him. You know, I mean, I just want to sit in my White House, my Oval Office, and play with my Game Boy and be a double-naught spy.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing that he did, and I've got the text for it. I wish I had the film, but when we had the march on Tallahassee, when he was doing away with, what is it? You know, where you have a better chance at getting into college and all like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is that?
Affirmative
called?
Action?
Yeah. And he changed it to something else. And I saw the march. We had a local cable channel that showed it. And there were like thousands of people marching. He just completely ignored them. And
well, people also forget, Juanita, that this is the guy who created single-handedly the whole Terry Schiavo fiasco.
Yeah.
Because of his reverence for life.
He's something else. I think he could be worse than his brother. I really do.
But, no Bush is going to be good for this country.
No.
Because they believe that they are destined to rule. They have no regard for the rule of law. They despise the Constitution. They will always take the side of big business over working people.
You were talking about, if you don't mind me.
Go right ahead.
Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you love to see, you know how Bush says, oh, well, people can go to the emergency room. Wouldn't you love to see them have to go to the emergency room?
Oh yeah, you know why not take Dick to emergency room there, the single most crowded emergency room in D.C. Oh, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, get him out of the limousine and take it, you know, and take the swanky clothes away from him and let him walk in saying, "Oh, I've got chest pains," you know, just in regular Joe garb,
right,
and see how he gets treated. Well, can I see your insurance? Oh, I forgot.
They have no idea, and they could care less. It's, I don't know. It's just
they don't live. They don't breathe the same air that we breathe, Juanita.
No, but they sure do resent us breathing what air we do breathe.
Ain't that the truth?
That's true. I'll tell you. It's something else, I'll tell you. Well, I think you and I have discovered, probably with our past from being involved with right-wingers and all, maybe, I don't know, but...
It's once you figure out how they think, it's not that hard to see what the next move's going to be.
Right.
You know,
they do think different.
They think they're incredibly smart, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Well, Juanita, thank you very much, dear. You have yourself a wonderful evening. Good to hear from you.
I didn't know you'd be on live today.
Oh, gosh almighty. I'm here anytime they'll let me be, you know.
And I had the radio show on almost all weekend. And I'm, you know, getting to where now, you know, I fall asleep a lot. And I woke up and I was on your radio.
You know, that can be terribly confusing.
With me, it's my voice, you know, but I can't help it. I said, I believe I have something to say. And some people do like the way I talk, but I just sound so bad.
You know, no, Juanita, you know what? People love the way you talk. People love to hear you. Because,
really?
I think it's very important for the rest of the country to hear folks who talk like you and me talk.
Melodious voice. I mean,
talking liberal politics, talking progressive ideas, and coming from you know, a southern perspective, because people have been around this country have been taught to believe that there's no such thing as a southern liberal.
Oh no, that's not true. I came from a bunch of southern liberals. My background, all my folks, the only time that they changed was a few of them changed in Nixon and Kennedy, you know, because of Kennedy being Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some that changed over that, but all of my relatives were staunch Democrats.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And
there's still some. There's still some going to those churches that probably don't know they've gotten hidden liberals in the church, little old ladies and little old men.
I know. Well, Juanita, you have, God bless them until he changes their mind. It's like the old saying,
God bless the ones that they know the facts. You'd be surprised when you listen, you know, what people really think.
Yeah, and a lot of people got fooled, and a lot of people got scared by 9/11. Remember, you know, the first time through, George Bush was not elected by any kind of a majority. Even he will admit that.
I live in Florida, and I know.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, don't you? It's like that old saying, Juanita, may those who love us, and those who don't love us, may God turn their hearts, and if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so we can know them by their limping.
Yeah.
You have a wonderful night, Juanita.
You too, and God bless you in every way.
All right, thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's news time. We're another hour gone. What do we do? Where do these things go? It's like where the candle flame goes when it blows out. I just don't know. So we'll come back, and thank you, John Fox, chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network, hearkening back to our Afghanistan story. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kinks. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Horn.
She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name, and in a dark brown voice she said, Lola, L-O-L-A, La Fola, La 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 La. Squeeze me tight, she nearly broke my spine. Oh my Lola, la 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 Lola. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she won't like a woman, talk like a man. Oh my Lola, la 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 Lola, la 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 Lola.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, Shiite lawmakers have struck down legislation meant to ease restrictions on employment for Sunnis who previously worked for Saddam Hussein. The anti-Sunni policy was originally instituted by the U.S., although America has now reversed its position. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif has returned from exile to run for re-election. He's adding his voice to those demanding President General Pervez Musharraf lift martial law. Musharraf ousted Sharif in a military coup that was 8 years ago. A Musharraf spokesman says the president will step down as head of the Pakistan military before being sworn in for another term as president. Twin suicide bombings in Pakistan killed more than 20 policemen, ratcheting up pressure on Musharraf. 40 people were wounded, many of them critically. Syrian diplomats have unexpectedly agreed to attend tomorrow's peace summit in Annapolis, Maryland. It is an attempt by the Bush administration to end conflict between Israelis and Palestinians that has lasted for 6 decades. In Gaza today, an Israeli airstrike has killed one Hamas militant and wounded 4 others. Australia's new prime minister got down to work today. Kevin Rudd won a landslide victory Saturday in an election largely revolving around four-term John Howard's relationship with President Bush. Rudd says his first action will be to sign the Kyoto Protocol. In Russia, a weekend of pro-democracy demonstrations against President Vladimir Putin led to the arrest and beatings of hundreds of protesters. Included was opposition candidate and former chess star Garry Kasparov. Republican Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi says he'll resign by the end of the year. The number two ranking Republican, he is the 6th GOP senator to resign this year. A new poll indicates that Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton is now running behind the top 5 Republican presidential contenders in general election matchups. Senator Barack Obama and former Senator John Edwards both hold narrow leads over those same GOP contenders. And Vice President Dick Cheney has an irregular heartbeat, according to his doctors. The abnormality was discovered today during a routine doctor's visit. He is undergoing further medical evaluation and could require moderate outpatient treatment. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
China will buy $15 billion worth of airplanes from European manufacturer Airbus. The 160-aircraft deal announced during the first visit of French President Nicolas Sarkozy to China. In another French deal, this one worth nearly $12 billion, China announced it had agreed to buy 3 third-generation nuclear reactors from Paris-based company Arvida. Mexico's first Chinese car factory has begun construction. The plant in central Mexico will create thousands of jobs and is funded by state companies in both China and Mexico. Union negotiations continued into the wee hours today between Broadway stagehands and theater producers. The strike has kept most of Broadway's top shows dark for the past 2 weeks, including the lucrative Thanksgiving weekend. The first weekend of holiday sales beat both Wall Street and retailers' expectations, a 7% increase over this time last year. The big winners were electronics stores and discounters. And the euro crept higher today to $1.48 per single euro. The U.S. housing slump has brought tightening credit conditions for that. Light sweet crude trading at $97.70 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, another significant drop on the Dow, closing down 10%, 237 points to end at 12,743. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
I love how stuff just kind of runs together. How the seamless interconnectedness of all things sort of presents themselves to you. If you're only patient enough to look, listen, learn, and observe. Kevin brought up the issue of big-time Dick, Richard B. Dick Cheney's heart arrhythmia. And, you know, that led me to wonder about, you know, how many people in this country will die from heart rhythm-related ailments, undiagnosed, unexamined until it's too late, that kind of thing. And you can't help but ask yourself those kinds of questions in a country with a completely shattered, broken, utterly dysfunctional healthcare system such as what we have. And apparently what they did to him at the hospital this afternoon is, you know, they got the paddles and went, clear! Oh, I'm not dead anymore. Oh, it feels good to be undead again. So, you know, don't be surprised. I'm not saying it's a lead pipe cinch or anything, but don't be surprised if you find out, you know, you open the browser one day and it's Cheney to spend more time with family. Oh, wait a second. I can't walk away from this. I just can't. Bush addresses State Department dinner. It's apparently happening as we speak. We don't get these opportunities very often. I'm not going to... Come on, where are you? Yeah, okay, I got a caller on the line. Please stay with me for just a minute. And hopefully we'll get the... Come on. Well, it says watch now. Dadgummit. I want to watch. But it's not... Ah, darn it. Yeah, I guess it's not going to happen. More's the pity. Because, you know, when they get to the part about, you people have to serve your country by going and serving inside the green zone, inside that Swiss cheese of an embassy that Halliburton's been building for a couple of years now that's cost us several billion dollars and has its own swimming pools and gymnasiums and stuff, because God knows you can't leave the building. You know, when the bread rolls start getting tossed. That would have been fun to see. But and if I figure out a way to make it happen, I'll make it happen. Okay, so let's go to the phones. Oh, the interconnect... Wait. Okay, that was a busy signal anyway. The interconnectedness of all things. Let me back up a minute. And I'm not trying to... steal Peter's material from him, because I kind of cede these stories to Peter for his own show. But you can't just walk away. No, when the Vice President of the United States is getting the best health care in the world, but other Americans are going undiagnosed and, you know, dropping dead and things like that because they don't have health care at all, you can't walk past a story like this. Headline, college offers medical plan to employees' pets, denies it to their human companions. A Florida college, after denying employees' domestic partners access to medical insurance, has in turn offered a medical plan for employees' household pets, according to the Palm Beach Post. Boy, there's the Palm Beach Post. There's a broadcaster's nightmare. All sort of popping fricatives all over the place. No, it's not a dirty word, fricative. In August, medical benefits for human domestic partners of employees were denied due to a tie vote among the trustees of the Palm Beach Community College. The change in benefits wouldn't have changed the cost one red cent to the college. And the Palm Beach County Human Rights Council President Rand Hoke said, the fact of the matter is that puppies are covered and partners are not. And see, please recall, when we talk about domestic partnerships, we're not necessarily just talking about gay folk. We're talking about people in unmarried circumstances. Domestic partners. That could be, you know, the granola people, you know, granola couple is, you know, we don't need a piece of paper to show that, like, you know, we're committed to each other, you know? So, you know, we just, like, live together, you know, we're free, she's free, I'm free, but, you know, we've been free like this for, like, 20 years, and we don't see why we have to go down to the courthouse and get a piece of paper, you know? Well, those two people can't have... If one of them works for Palm Beach Community College, the other one can't have medical benefits. It also applies to a couple who are a couple of guys. It also applies to a couple who are a couple of women. However, Fluffy the cat can have health care, as can Rex the dog, or Iggy the iguana, or Felicia the fish. Oh, yeah. Sam the snake. Veterinary health care, you betcha. Palm Beach Community College spokesperson Grace Truman said, there's really no comparison, because the pet benefit is part of a discount offered by an outside business rather than part of an employee-administered benefits plan. Both the human relations director, Ellen Grace, no relation to Grace Truman, and college president Dennis Gallen are supportive of domestic partner benefits. Several other universities in Florida already offer such benefits to their employees.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe if your partner goes into, you know, maybe you can get veterinary care. Jesus. Meanwhile, back in Washington, Dick Cheney's getting paddled. Clear! For the love of God. College offers medical plan to employees' pets, denies it to their human companions. We're just screwed. We are just screwed. We're done. I mean, you know, stop the merry-go-round. We can't find Kyrgyzstan on a map. We can't, you know, we can't stop Trent Lott from going out and dipping both front cloven hooves into the lobbying trough. We're supporting a regime in Afghanistan that in turn buys little boys. I was so excited to come back after Thanksgiving. You know, you take me away from the microphone for a couple of days and I start getting, you know, a little tick develops in my cheek and I've got to talk again. And I get an hour in and I start wanting to throw things. Oh, by the way, I mentioned earlier the business with the pathetic, poor human being who was beaten for getting raped. You know, you know a phrase like that comes out of your mouth and you just, please, you know, it's got to be better. That big gaseous planet that the scientists just discovered, you know, maybe it's got a little Earth revolving around it where they don't beat women for people forcing sex on them. It's got to be better somewhere. Well, you know, no matter, this story's been talked about all over America, at least in liberal and progressive circles. And I guess it's been talked about in fundamentalist Christian circles because they kind of like the way the Saudis live. The Saudis are continuing this from the Feminist Peace Network. The Saudis are continuing to piously justify the recent sentencing of a 19-year-old girl who was gang raped to 6 months in jail and 200 lashes for riding in a car with men who were not her relatives. The Toronto Star says that the Saudis issued this statement. we reiterate that judicial rulings in this virtuous country are based on God's book and the traditions of his prophet, and that no ruling is issued without being based on evidence, said the statement carried by official news agency SPA. There was more to the message, however, from SPA. The woman's husband has told local media they would appeal, even though the judge had warned that the sentence could be increased again if she loses the appeal. The Justice Ministry noted that the law gives the right of appeal, but warned that, quote, resorting to the media could have, quote, a negative effect on the other parties in the case. Just think. You know, actions have consequences. Just think. Every time you pull up to the Exxon pump, every time you pull up to the mobile pump, every time you pull up to the Chevron pump, the Marathon pump, every time you put a single stinking drop of gasoline in your vehicle, you are enabling barbaric animals from the 10th century BC to continue their barbaric and brutal ways, and you don't have a damn thing you can do about it unless you go to Citgo. We reiterate that judicial rulings in this virtuous country are based on God's book. Well, you know what? If that ruling that says a victim of gang rape who is 19 years old gets 6 months in jail and 200 lashes, if that's out of that book, God can cram that book right up his holy tuchus, as far as I'm concerned. And I mean it. This is what we get for propping up the brutal dictatorship that is Saudi Arabia. This is what we get for standing idly by and ignoring the energy warnings of Jimmy Carter during his presidency, when he laid out a plan that would have gotten us well on the way to being free of those monstrous, barbaric bastards on the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. This is what we get for ignoring his wisdom. Bastards. The woman's husband, she's married. He had no way of preventing her rape. How, in that kind of brutal, macho culture, how emasculated must he feel? But that's okay. We'll see pictures of George Bush or Dick Cheney kissing on one of the Saudi royals. And we have no moral high ground to stand on anymore after bombing and slaughtering some thousands upon thousands of hundreds of thousands, and yea, verily, nigh unto a million Iraqi women and children. What are we going to do? Pick up the phone and say, don't let the woman get beaten? Oh, okay, that'll be fine. We won't beat the woman. How long you want us to turn off your oil spigot, George? I, for one, object to slavery. And if you think that you are not a slave to the barbarity of the Saudi people, you have no idea. Because they are barbarians. I wouldn't sit down to dinner across from a member of the Saudi royal house. I wouldn't waste my spit on a member of the Saudi royal house. I'm sorry. I am more than tolerant of anybody's desire to believe in anything that they want. But you know what? If you say that your religion requires a 19-year-old girl to be beaten nigh unto death, you are a servant of Satan. And that's all there is to it. If you say that you follow a religion of peace that then tells you that it's okay to whip the life out of some man's 19-year-old wife, you are serving a demon. And that's all there is to it. You think? Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, who've I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Well, snarl. There is a point. I agree with you. These guys are barbarians, and they will probably kill her.
The human body can't. It's not 200 lashes with a wet noodle. This isn't cute.
No. This is with probably a metal-tipped piece of rawhide. It's guaranteed. It's made to cut you open.
There will be no meat left on her back.
Yeah. Now, having said that, and having agreed that yes, they are barbarians, we also have to remember that no matter what we do here, is not going to change a damn thing. What will change things over there in Saudi Arabia is when the women, the mothers of these girls, say enough and proceed to carve off the, shall we say, appendages most dearly beloved of all men and stuff it down their throats.
Well, yeah, but there's only there's one problem with that, Susan. The women in that Sikh culture are so thoroughly sequestered that they have no means of acting out because they can't be seen together. They can't be in public together unless their men are watching over them. There's a reason for this kind of twisted misogyny. And you got to understand that every religion out there that has any kind of anti-female religious laws, whether it's hairdos or veils or how long the skirt has to be or any of that other foolishness, every single one of those religions contributes to the beating of that woman. Because if we tolerate one, we have to tolerate them all. And that includes tolerating a woman getting 200 lashes.
I know. But also,
that's why I want nothing to do with any of them.
Understand that women are not going to get out of that until they take their rights back.
Yeah, well, you say take them back. You're assuming that they, at some point in time in that culture, they've had rights. They don't.
No.
They haven't.
They have rights in as much as they are human beings. They don't realize, that they, unless they are very well educated, and let's say that a lot of these girls are very well educated. And the thing is, yes, Purda will segregate them and will make it very, very hard to do what they need to do. But Purda will also do one other thing. It provides a petri dish to foment resentments.
Well, you can, but my point, Susan, is you can foment them all day long. But if they have no means of manifesting what they foment, they're done for.
Well, hey, I'm not talking about a wide scale, picking up a gun and starting off a revolution. This is the type of revolution that starts with something like a burning bed.
Well, it's something, and please, let's...
And women are going to have to be willing to die.
And let's understand that these, you know, this virtuous kingdom, blah, 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 God's book, traditions of his prophet, yada, yada, yada. These are cultural ways that are in which the Quran is being used to prop it up. Okay?
Yeah.
These are cultural mores that go back thousands upon thousands of years, and long before Muhammad ever rode a horse with wings on it or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, they are currently buying into it. What's going to stop them is when they stop buying into it. And it will take a couple generations, because that's when they stop buying into it, that's when they start indoctrinating their sons. That's when they start indoctrinating them into, you do not hurt women, it's bad to hurt women, so on and so forth. You teach a kid that enough times before the age of 6, he's yours for life. He's imprinted.
Well, I guess I've got a dimmer, a more pessimistic view, Susan, because that child is being imprinted with the manipulation of Islam for hate, co-equally, if not more so, because there's a fairly young age at which boys are taken away from their mothers, largely.
Generally, 7 or 8 years old. So if the mothers will stop buying into it and start, you know, indoctrinating.
But their imams tell them that they're dirty and that God is punishing them for being female. So, you know, they're stopping buying into it, Susan. You know, how do they stop buying into it when you know, the very fires of hell are being used to prop up that level of...
That's the hard part.
Yeah. And that's where civilized countries do come into play. But we don't have a country right now that is willing to stand up and look at Saudi Arabia and say, you know what? Because we really don't comprehend this. We're so deep into our addiction, and you know, somebody like horn psychologist Rick Goodner could probably explain this at greater length. But we're so deep into our addiction, we can't even find the way to our own empowerment. You know, how hard would it be to look at the Saudis and say, okay, threaten to cut off the oil. You dumb bastards, eat sand.
Yeah.
You can't eat sand. You can't grow wheat where you live. You can't. It takes everything in your power to have fresh water. Stop beating women, or you can try to eat the sand. That's all there is to it.
Unfortunately, we've got to be willing to give up our addiction. And we're not.
We've got to be willing to at least try to get clean.
Yeah, and like you said, Jimmy Carter, we should have been doing what Jimmy Carter proposed for almost from day one. But Ronnie Reagan, Saint Ronnie, Matt came in and said, "Oh, everything's right. And all of us idiots believed him." Well, not me, but you know, and not you, but the sheep believed him.
And see, the sad thing is, we can't tell the Saudis to eat sand because, well, you know, we might get a little cooperation from civilized Europe. But there would be India, and there would be China, and there would be everybody for whom we have become the great Satan, willing to feed them.
Now, if we can come up, if some genius working in a garage someplace can come up with a power source that does not require fossil fuels, it's Katie barred the door.
Yeah, but would we farm that out, Susan, to the rest of the world so that they too could tell the Saudis to go get stuffed? I'm a real kumbaya guy, and I'm disturbed, Susan, when I find myself thinking and talking this way about these people, because, you know, I'm the one who says that we have to realize that we're not Muslims, we're not Jews, we're not Christians, Hindu, Jains, Shintos, Buddhists, whatever. We're none of those. We're humans. And that until we get to the point where we recognize that we are all humans first and whatever second, that we will continue to be plagued by these miseries. So, you know, I want the Brotherhood of Man and yada, yada, yada.
But I don't think we're going to get it anytime soon.
Well, it's not just that. I firmly and genuinely believe that. But then I see turds like the Saudis.
Oh, God, yes.
And it just turns all my goodwill on its ear.
Mm-hmm. You want to go and thump somebody.
Yeah. I'm sure this will open up. This will open up the 9/11 can of worms when I say it. But you know, what was it? 15 out of 19 of the people in those airplanes were Saudis.
Saudis.
There was a stray Egyptian and a couple of Yemenis, and said no Afghanis, no Iraqis, no Uzbeks, no Pakistanis. They were Saudis. The Saudi Arabian Peninsula is the source of 90% of our woes in the world.
Yeah, it's Wahhabist Islam.
Wahhabist Islam. You know, and all you have to do is have some smart guy willing to go back and read T.E. Lawrence for a little bit. A lot of, you know, and then again, you know, just for the sake of history, Susan, it is worth remembering that the Saudi Arabian Peninsula at the end of World War I was controlled by the Hashemite family. Okay? As portrayed so elegantly by Sir Alec Guinness in Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
The Hashemites got screwed. Okay? Guess who screwed the Hashemites? Who were trying to get civilized?
We did.
We did. I think it was long about 1925 when we supported the uprising of the royal house of Ibn Saud against the Hashemites. And they took over the peninsula with our backing. During, of course, Republican administrations in the United States. Sorry, it's just history. It is what it is. The royal house of Ibn Saud, who up until, you know, the 20s or so, had been munching on sand fleas for the love of Christ, we made.
Yep.
You know, we made that problem. We made it because, and you know why we made it, right?
Yeah.
It's a little something, I believe the official acronym for it was Aramco, the Arab American Oil Company.
Yep.
And we were going to balance the British control of the Iranian Persian oil fields by controlling the Saudi oil fields.
Yeah.
And the only way for us to do that, because the Hashemites were creatures of Great Britain, was to put the royal house of Ibn Saud in control of the holy places, you know, Mecca, Medina, that kind of thing. They, in turn, were backed by the Wahhabists. And yes, indeedy, in his Seven Pillars of Wisdom, T.E. Lawrence does at some length describe the Wahhabists. And he talks about how to defeat the Wahhabists. But, you know, we weren't interested in any of that kind of thing. We just wanted the money.
No.
Just give me the money. We're loose. You know, the Christmas season's coming, so sooner or later, some channel will be playing Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. You remember that wonderful cartoon? I love that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's this sign where, or this scene where Charlie Brown's talking to Lucy, and she says, "Nobody ever gives me what I want for Christmas. You know what I want for Christmas, Charlie Brown? I mean, it's always dolls and bicycles and stuff. You know, what?" And Lucy, what do you want? And she smiles, that evil smile that Lucy has, and she says, "Real estate." That's us.
Yeah.
Real estate. Give me the money. I want the money. Oh, Susan. Oh, her internet must have burped. You know, I don't ever want on this program to get within even so much as screaming distance of sounding like some sort of right-wing freak, and I wonder, and you know, you tell me if I'm getting close to it. Are the Saudi Arabians anything but barbarians? I mean, come on. They're going to whip the flesh off a 19-year-old girl whose infraction was to have been raped outside the presence of her male relatives. Is there anything in that last sentence
that bears any relationship whatsoever to life in the 21st century civilized world, so to speak. Lord, I know there's no comparison between the two, so don't think that I'm making that comparison. But if the day ever comes in America when we no longer need the Saudis, will we not be entitled to stand up and say, free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last? If you, wherever you live, and I think you would, if you would have the courage to pick up the phone and dial 911 if you saw your neighbor across the road beating the piss out of his wife, if you would call the cops on him, by definition, should you not be absolutely horrified and sickened at this set of circumstances? The woman was raped. I'm not going to get graphic. You know what rape is. Wait a minute. She was gang raped. The first guy raped her, and when he was done, his buddy raped her. And when he was done, his buddy raped her. And when he was done, his buddy raped her. Not a word in any of these stories about any charge or any punishment for the rapists. Not a word. Would you sit idly by and watch something like that happen and not at least pick up a phone and call the cops? Would you tell that woman's husband, when he tried to stand up for her, that she had it coming? That she was asking for it because she violated God's holy law? Would you? Now, the fact of the matter is, the United States can't change these attitudes. I don't, and I disagree with Susan to the extent that I don't think women can change it. Men must change it, because it is a male-dominated society. That means men must change Islam. There are so-called Islamic centers all over this country. And I suppose you could call one of them and say, you know, hey, does the Quran really say that you have to beat the flesh off of a rape victim? And I have no doubt that the answer I would receive would be, no, it doesn't say that. And that's where most programs and most interviews say, oh, okay, thank you very much, have a lovely day, and move on. Without asking the next question, what does it take to change the barbarity that is Saudi Arabia? Because you can't change it in Parliament. You can't change it in the home. You can't change it in the streets. You can only change it through the religion that eats away at those benighted people's souls. The version of the religion, Wahhabism. Lord. But then again, who am I to talk about Islam? We can't convince the old Nazi aircraft gunner that allowing people in AIDS-ravaged countries to use condoms would be a good idea. So, you know, we're kind of, here in the West, we're in sort of one of those situations where it's a little bit about plucking the beam out of our own eye before we reach for the mote that is in that of our brother. right? But, you know, at the very least, if we had a moral administration, we could, you know, the President of the United States could call the ambassador over and say, you know, get your ass over here on the double quick, and call him on the carpet and say, you know, I don't want to make trouble for you, but I want you to know I'm going to denounce this, and I'm going to call you people a bunch of benighted, barbaric jackasses if this goes through, and I'm going to do everything in my power to humiliate you monkeys. Harry Truman would have done something like that. How do I know? Because, you see, the very young, very early version of the CIA, you know, the Dulles brothers, went to Harry Truman and said, you know, Churchill's been talking to us, and he's got this lovely idea where we're going to overthrow this Mossadegh guy, this Mohammed Mossadegh that the Persians have elected, then that, you know, they elected him and stuff, like they think they can have a democracy just because they want one. We want to overthrow him. The British said they can't do it because it would get their little tootsies dirty, and they can't have their little tootsies dirty. But we'd like to do it for them. Come on, Harry, let us do it. And Harry Truman said, "Kiss my ass. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to let you. I'll can your ass if I find out you're trying." Ah, come on, Harry, it'd be fun. We've got this cute little king all set up, and we can teach him how to have secret police and torture his own people and have dungeons and stuff. It'd be cool, Harry. It'd be cool. And Harry Truman said, "Get out of my sight." And in 1952, Eisenhower was elected, and the Dulles brothers were on top of his desk screaming, "We've got to overthrow Mossadegh," before Eisenhower found out what his presidential chair felt like. And Eisenhower said, "Oh, what the hell? Go ahead." That's how I know Harry Truman would call the Saudi ambassador over and say, you know, "You little jackass, don't let this happen. If you let this happen, things are going to be bad for you." Not that it's any of our business, except to the extent that once upon a time the United States was actually involved in the promotion of general human rights. We're not into that anymore.
Nah.
Long as the oil flows, baby, we're golden with Saudi Arabia. You want to? Hey, 15 of your guys want to fly a couple, hijack a couple of jets and fly them into our buildings? That's okay, cool with us. We can consolidate power on that. That's all right. Oh, what? You're funding the Sunni militias in Iraq that are killing our sons and daughters, our cousins and our uncles and our aunts and our brothers and our sisters and our mothers and fathers? You guys are funding that? Is the oil still flowing? Cool. Go right ahead. Because this is the same mindset that says a vice president gets the best health care in the world, but, you know, some dude in Norman, Oklahoma can go screw himself. God. What an upside-down, sick little nation we've turned ourselves into. Let's go to the phones. Hey, who have I got?
Yeah, this is me, David.
Hey, David, what's up, man?
I was just listening to you, and one of the things that really is kind of revealing to me of where we differ from is you said we need to bring a moral administration. And to me, especially in a country like the United States, I don't think we can have a moral administration and be the country that we are, and be the country that we were once were, whatever think of that. Because I just believe when you have that kind of power and you have that kind of ability to govern and rule over the land, you're going to be immoral. And that's I know a lot of people want to think, well, Truman, but Eisenhower. Well, to me, I don't think that cuts it, because to me, every administration, the way the country was set up, I hate to be ultra cynical, but to me, it looks like it was designed completely like a trap to where we're at right now. And when you talk about, talking about the Saudi Arabian thing, and you're saying, well, these people are barbaric and barbarians, well, I look at it this way. that's their phase of what they're currently into rape and killings and all of that. And if we were to go over there, Bob, and say, hey, you know what, you guys are doing this wrong, even if we were Saudi Arabian, hey, you know, this is wrong, and this is, and we have a better way. And then they say, well, and then instead of half of them stand up and go, well, she deserved it. She was not with a male relative, and that's just the way it is. And that's what we're going to have to deal with, all of that. It's the cycle of nature. I hate to say it that bluntly, but that's it right there.
Well, you know, God knows we've got enough stuff on our own plate for us to be. But you know what, David? It's the immediacy of it. There's not a damn thing you or I can do about it. And so, you know, talking about it probably doesn't even matter. But at least
it does matter because it voices out, because we don't know who's listening to the program right now, Bob. A Saudi Arabian could be listening right now as we are talking with the connection. We don't know. And that could influence, and that could open the dialogue and influence it for other generations. But what if the Saudi Arabians are listening to this, the one thing that I would like to say is I understand, when it comes to brutality and, imperialism and authoritarianism, I understand that. And I understand that there's a phase in society that it seems like we all go through. And I don't want to say, I don't want to make them look
no,
like,
you're right, David. Every culture has been this barbaric.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
God knows, so-called pious, Christian, puissant Europe was every bit this barbaric. We've been this barbaric in our country.
Yeah.
We're not exactly a shining light for women's rights as it stands. But it's on a comparative scale, it rather pales. Because, you know, what, the average woman makes 50, 60 cents for every dollar a man makes in this country, you know, just because of gender inequities. But that really does kind of pale in comparison to being, you know, beaten to death for being raped.
Well, what I'm saying is it's a certain timeline, and you're just going to have to let that play out. But Bob, continue to voice out, because that's important, too, because people listen to this and they'll look at that as inspiration. I had somebody come to me when I was in a store and he said, thank you for your insight and into whatever. I really needed to hear that today. And that is the difference, because you're passing it on. You're passing on the inspiration and the energy to the next, to the next, to the next. It's just like a baton race. And people need to understand that. That is what is key. Not that if anything changes today, tomorrow, whatever, just passing that positive energy. Saying, I don't agree with this. This is a problem, and this is that. And I understand people who don't want it to be like that, and I support you on this and that. And people do need to hear that.
Well, but I think, David, we also have to be willing to take it further.
Well,
we have to talk about it in a sort of a global context, because these are fundamentalists, okay? And there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Muslim fundamentalist, a Christian fundamentalist, a Hindu fundamentalist, a Jewish fundamentalist, a Native American fundamentalist. Fundamentalists are fundamentalists, okay?
Right.
Because as long as they hang on to ancient practices that bespeak barbarity to a person for the accident of which kind of plumbing they were born with, we have to tolerate all of it. All of it, David.
I understand that, but to me,
you filthy woman, you must take a bath. You know, we gotta tolerate that.
But what struck me is when you call to me, when someone calls someone a barbarian or anything in that, and to me, I look at all of human nature as barbaric, and I'm sorry if people don't.
We are no. I get it. We are.
Yeah,
we are.
And I think like at different degrees. It's meant to happen in civilization. I know people don't want to hear that. Oh, you mean nightmares are destined, and they're born, they're made to happen for a reason? I don't know. Maybe it brings us to the path of evolution.
I know, and so, you know, we get free of Saudi oil, and we can look at them and go, you know, eat sand, asshole. You know, we can do that.
And we can and we can turn our backs on them and say, you benighted bastards, you do whatever you want to your women, but you can do it while you freaking starve.
Well, I think the
What good have we done? We've turned our back on the situation.
I think the problem there is that, and you know it and I know it, too many people are corrupted and follow immoral principles, and then there are those who think they're following moral principles and are completely immoral. There's a lot of contradictions and a lot of convoluted.
You know how bad this gets, David? I just got updated by a couple of listeners. The rapist did get sentenced to like up to 5 years in prison. I thought in Saudi Arabia if you committed theft they cut your hand off, and if you committed murder they cut your head off.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
I thought
these,
it was 1 year. It's 5 years now?
That's one of the Assyrian news agencies, what I'm looking at.
Mm.
But here's the thing that really tells you how desperately, utterly evil the Saudi regime is.
Yeah.
The guy who defended her, who appealed the case, the lawyer, they disbarred him. They disbarred him for defending her.
Well,
now that doesn't compare with having the skin flayed off your back, I guess. But, you know, it reminds me of that line from Shakespeare about the first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers, and everybody goes, ho, 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 that sure is funny. I'm glad that Shakespeare said it, because, you know, I want to kill all the lawyers is our problem. The problem is most of these idiots don't understand that that line in Shakespeare is put in the mouth of someone who would have gladly put England under dictatorial rule. The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers.
I think that the same thing is just keep talking about it and, I guess, pray on it. I mean, there's not really much else you can do except just voice your opinions and views and concerns about it. I understand what you're talking about. Why don't we go? I think the reason is because This is part of our main hub for an infrastructure. So does that make us immoral by default proxy? I don't know. It does seem that way now, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Bandar Bush, who is now the chief foreign affairs advisor to King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, he was the Saudi ambassador to the United States, and he was a dear family friend of the Bushes. And, you know, they'd get together and smoke cigars and drink liquor and go to Dallas Cowboys games and so forth. Hey, Bandar, you know, when was the last time when did you stop beating your wife? Oh, ho, 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 I have not stopped beating her. Ha, ha. You think that ever happened?
No, maybe they did on one drunken orgy night in one of their plush condos. With the prostitutes, I mean that doesn't happen. They're moral people.
I've got a good friend whose wife, well, they lived in D.C. and she worked in a place where she would occasionally get on elevators with Saudi men. And she said they're the most obnoxious human beings on planet Earth. Because they would sit there and openly proposition her and tell her that she should have sex with them because she was an American whore woman.
See, that right there, that to me, see, this is another example of why I don't get into specifics on cultures and like that. Because if I were to say something like that, and I can never tell who I'm around, or I don't ever want to get in the habit of that, because again, if someone's going to take that to mean the wrong way. I mean, I just look at people as some people are chauvinists. I won't generalize it. I won't put a culture's name out there like that because.
Well, I mean, she knew they were Saudis.
I know, but what I'm saying is when you generalize it to a level like that, I mean, people take it the wrong way. So I try to avoid that, and I just look at like. We do have a lot of problems in the world.
I mean, I could get Agnes in here, and she could tell the story about the Saudi boys she knew at Marshall University when she was a student.
Yeah.
And the things that they said to her.
Right. But, you know, it's the same thing of people generalizing Americans and, you know, black people and just everything. I mean, it all goes back to when you typecast the culture like that as Saudi people. And I know you don't mean it that way.
Are there good people in Saudi Arabia? I have no doubt of it.
Yeah.
There were good people in Nazi Germany. There were good people in Stalinist Russia. There were good people in Cambodia during the time of Pol Pot.
I guess the way I would emphasize it, I would just say these men, not so broad a stroke, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I really don't want to make this apply to Islam.
I know.
Because I've read the Quran, granted in translation. But it was a translation of the Quran approved by the Grand Mosque and the Uber Wahhabi or whatever he is.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be fairly close. And I don't find anything in there about beating the life out of a woman who's been raped. You know, one of the first words to describe God is the compassionate. What compassionate God requires? Requires the damn nigh murder of a woman who was held down and forced and had sex forced upon her.
There is a verse there about the woman and getting beaten by a shoe, though. So not quite the same as rape.
Oh, I know. In the United States, we had laws in the 19th century that are, some of which are still on the books in the 21st. That describe how big around the peach tree limb is with which one may beat one's wife.
You know, we've talked about this before, but look at the play. They still show the children's play Punch and Judy all over the world.
Dang, that's funny.
It's basically, you know, and the people watch that and you're like, they're supposed to be laughing at this. The woman's getting beaten up, and you know, it makes you wonder who the writer and the creator of the play, if he was.
Well, you know, and look, I mean, I'm sane enough to realize that I am viewing this all through a modern 21st century Western filter, if you will. I recognize that. I know that. I'm closely tuned into my own failings.
Right.
So, you know, let's say you're a little boy growing up in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
You go to school every day.
Yeah.
You read, you know, your school books say that Islam will only be perfected when a rock tells a tree, say unto Allah, come and get me, there is a Jew behind me. Okay, I mean, this is all stuff that's been quoted out of their textbooks. You know, Iraq wasn't responsible for any of that. Our business partners were.
Yeah.
But I realize that if I'm that little kid who, from the first moment they start teaching me to read, start teaching me to hate, it's going to be, change is going to be a long time coming, David. You know?
About, this is where I say that a lot of people don't want to hear, and the truth is, it's a brutal truth, but we're headed back to, whether people like it or not, tribal societies, and along with that comes fundamentalism and barbaricism that we haven't personally seen. And I mean, I guess I look at it as that's a cycle of life that we tried to shield and shelter ourselves for so long, but eventually it gets built up and we're back to it again. And I guess what I'm saying basically is it's not really good to shield yourself from nature and
well,
the world.
I mean, from an anthropological standpoint, David.
Yeah.
Cultural traditions like beating women for so-called transgressions like this don't just happen. They have a reason behind them. Odds are, let's see. Let me see if I can try to make some sense out of this.
To be a typical Western outrager, you have to mention the genital mutilation, too.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah,
but
that's what the right wing does. They love that.
Oh, well, you know, that's the thing. I'm not into one-handed typing or one-handed broadcasting, so I'm not going to do that. Because they really do. They get off on that stuff.
Yeah,
I know.
But what I'm getting at is somewhere in the dim and distant past, women must have been in a position in that culture where if they were left alone, the culture was so utterly barbaric that a guy would just, you know, couldn't control himself. Oh, look, it is a woman. I will screw her. You know, and was just on her like a duck on a June bug. That's the only way that these traditions can arise in that part of the world.
Well, the way I explain it to myself is, okay, someone accidentally hit someone with a shoe or a club, and they did it accidentally, and they got scared, and they kept doing it because they realized, if I stop, I'm going to get what's coming to me. So we have this big bank of abuse that's going to come to the men. Oh my God, Bob, will things break? All going to get close.
Well, but it really does. It goes back in time to an era when women were property.
Yeah.
And I think it was a guest on Peter's show who pointed out so brilliantly that the entire matrimonial thing, as it's laid out, for instance, in biblical tradition, is a property exchange. This many camels, sheep, and goats for that woman.
If you think about it, it's still stealth in
Who giveth this woman in marriage?
Yeah, it's still stealth in European and Western societies. We teach it in our reality shows, on magazines, and oh my God, the movies too. We teach the property angle. I mean, but we try to, you know, it's like doublespeak. But you're free, but you're not.
You don't have to go too far back in the state laws of any east of the Mississippi state in this union to find things like Married Women's Property Acts. That didn't even exist in the common law of England. We had to pass laws that allowed women to own property because women were deemed by law to be property. You know? Ouch.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can leave with one more thing, and I really do appreciate having this dialogue and conversation with you. I think maybe if someone was listening and they were Saudi Arabian, or they were from that region and that particular culture, or that, or along the lines of that, they understand with where we're coming from. But the other thing I want to say on a lighter note, what's the Hall of Fame anagram for mother-in-law?
I don't know. I love anagrams.
Woman Hitler.
Oh my God.
Isn't that great?
Do you just sit around coming up with this stuff, David?
No. That one was found. Oh, and by the way, before I leave, on a lighter note, and then also on a sadder note, what happened? I don't know. But on a sadder note, if John's listening, he should pull out some Quiet Riot, because Kevin Dubrow passed today.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he passed away. Nobody's sure what he died, but I'm guessing it's probably heart failure, maybe due to drug addiction or something. I'm not going to insinuate or...
No, speculate, sure.
Like, but I do think I always enjoyed reading. I liked his voice, but I also enjoyed reading what he had to say. He was on that metal sludge website, and he took as good as he could guess on it, and really was funny and understood where people were coming from, and didn't take himself too seriously. And I think if John could cue up some Kevin Dubrow, that would be a great way to honor his...
Well, I know he's listening, so I'm sure he'll pick up on it.
All right.
All right. Thanks, David.
Woman Hitler, later.
Oh, God.
Right,
later. In Mark Twain's The Awful German Language, there is a passage about the German words Schlag and... Oh, I can't remember the... But he says that you can tack Schlag onto a German word and make anything of it you want. He said it starts with Schlag Otter and goes through Schlag Mutter, which means mother-in-law, and Schlag Wasser, which means bilge water. It's funnier when you read it in context, I promise. All right, so I'm going to try to get away from barbaric Saudis in the next hour. God only knows what that means. Good, bad. Hey, look, help, would you? 304-658-5453 is the direct dial number if you have your own little unlimited long-distance calling plan. 877-443-2366 is the toll-free number. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sun goes down on sands of endless see tomorrow run by hand in hand with yesterday. Well, once the time hung still forever. In the wink of an eye, the bells are drawn and shadows hurry away. And the world goes to reality today. The light of the moon on the June, you almost feel the ghost of Lawrence riding by. See the emperor run, the sabers flash, the desert tribes come with the sun behind. At the turn of the page, see the moving finger writing new words to say. And the world goes to reality.
This is the Quality News Network. An extra busy, event-filled day at the White House as President Bush greeted former Vice President Al Gore to the Oval Office for a private meeting and the traditional photo with the American 2007 Nobel Award winner. Mr. Bush is also preparing for tonight's state dinner with diplomatic representatives from more than 40 countries who will attend tomorrow's Middle Eastern Peace Conference in Annapolis, Maryland. The number two ranking Republican senator plans to step down. Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi will resign by the end of the year, but is not exactly saying why. With 5 years to go in his current term, his powerful position on Capitol Hill could go to one of several colleagues, including John Kyle of Arizona or Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. A new poll indicates that Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton is now running behind the top five Republican presidential contenders in general election matchups. Senator Barack Obama and former Senator John Edwards both holding narrow leads over those same GOP contenders. In Baghdad, Shiite lawmakers have struck down legislation meant to ease restrictions on employment for Sunnis who previously worked for Saddam Hussein. The anti-Sunni policy originally instituted by the U.S., although America has now reversed its position. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, returning from exile to run for election, he is adding his voice to those demanding President General Pervez Musharraf lift martial law. Musharraf ousted Sharif in a military coup that was 8 years ago. Twin suicide bombings in Pakistan killed more than 20 policemen, ratcheting up pressure on Musharraf. 40 people were wounded, many of them critically. Syrian diplomats have unexpectedly agreed to attend tomorrow's peace summit in Annapolis, Maryland. It is an attempt by the Bush administration to end conflict between Israelis and Palestinians that has lasted for 6 decades. In Gaza today, an Israeli airstrike has killed one Hamas militant and wounded 4 others. Vice President Dick Cheney has an irregular heartbeat, according to his doctors. The abnormality discovered today during a routine doctor's visit. He is undergoing further medical evaluation and could require moderate outpatient treatment. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile. to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Union negotiations continuing into the wee hours today between Broadway stagehands and theater producers. The strike has kept most of Broadway's top shows dark for the past couple of weeks, including lucrative Thanksgiving weekend. The first weekend of holiday sales, beating both Wall Street and retailers' expectations, a 7% increase over this time last year. The big winners were electronic stores and discounters. The euro crept higher today to $1.48 per single euro. The U.S. housing slump has brought tightening credit conditions. Air France KLM posting a 28% jump in quarterly profit this month, lifting its company shares by nearly 12%. Profits were generated by strong ticket demand and by fuel surcharges. On Asian markets today, gold jumped to nearly $829 an ounce as investors anticipated another cut in U.S. interest rates. Platinum hit record highs. Light sweet crude oil trading at $97.70 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At today's close of Wall Street, another plunge the Dow, dropping 10%, 237 points, to end at 12,743. The NASDAQ down 55 points at 2540. S&P 500 down 33 points at 1407. And there's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yeah, I really am here. Just took me a minute to get the new Hear Who's This is on. Couldn't stand the headphones anymore. Just made my ears feel like they were going to start bleeding, so I moved over to these in-ear monitors. And you got to cram them into your ears, so it's, you know, a little bit more complicated than just slapping on the cans and going. My apologies. One of the things I love about doing this program is the really cool stuff I hear from, you know, all around the world. This one just rolled in from Japan, as a matter of fact. Our good friend Robert in Japan, who is a teacher, a professor there, said, Saudis are not the worst people I've had to deal with in teaching at FSU. The Kuwaitis were during the invasion of Iraq, and they began to show up in mass for English classes and visas. I realized that maybe the invasion was God's will. That was how obnoxious they were. They view us, Bob, as mere barbarians and our women as all whores, easy marks. But the funny thing is, none of the American women were ever going to date or talk to them. In any case, I once had the pleasure of having to teach the main Saudi interrogator, but he kept flunking the TOEFL exam. You know what the TOEFL exam is. English is a foreign language. So he tried to bribe me $10,000 to give him a passing grade. I laughed, as I could not have ever done this anyhow, but I decided to have the pleasure of torturing him and told him to just say, "I love Israel." Oh, God, Robert. They broke the mold with you, buddy. Needless to say, he learned that money sometimes cannot buy everything. Saudi men also, to add, go to Thailand to have sex, as God is not in Thailand. Thanks, Robert. And, of course, there's one surefire way to get me away from a topic like that, and this is mainly because, you know, I'm a total geek and shallow and all of the rest of everything else that I've been accused of being, and that is to, at this point in time, this time of the year,
mention two words to me, and those two words are college football. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Bob. Yes, a fun weekend was had by all.
Oh, it was, it was. And, you know, I want you guys to go into the SEC championship game and just put finished on LSU.
Well,
I really, really want you to. If somebody, I would be the proud owner of anything orange come next Saturday.
Well, the thing of it is, the fun part of it is the pundits are all just sort of like they're doing us like they did last week. Oh, they shouldn't even be here. It's like, that's good. You keep telling us that. Every time you tell us that, that's like throwing gas on the fire.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear telling about, oh, they shouldn't even be here. You know, they were telling us last week. All of a sudden, all these pundits forget that last week they were telling us Kentucky was going to beat us by about 3 touchdowns. So, you know,
I read some of that.
That's the best thing. Just keep telling us that. That, you know, say, I just turns up the heater.
Yep.
All right, let's get on to some more important stuff, but more fun. But maybe not as much fun stuff.
Okay.
Did you watch this weekend? See any of the, as I call it, the Glenn Beck infomercial?
No, my cable provider has taken away CNN and Headline News from me. All I have left is Fox.
I am so sorry.
MSNBC is gone. Yeah.
Oh, well, this
so is Sci-Fi and the Food Channel, for that matter. But I guess it's a bargain in the end because they took VH1 with it.
Well, let me tell you what they did this weekend.
Okay.
First of all, they have 1 hour of his show. I guess it's Friday night show. Is an interview with him and Anderson Cooper.
Oh, and poor Anderson.
Cooper, and Anderson Cooper does Tim Russert proud. It's like saying, he says, what do you think? And then sits back and sleeps for 15 minutes.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, pretty much. I mean, he'd ask him some simple question, and I'm sitting there going, switch over to Media Matters. There's a list of about 10 things you can ask him real quick. You know, the time he compared Gore to Hitler.
Or, you know, called John Edwards' wife a whore.
Oh, yeah.
There's that.
The time that, what was it? He, which one was it? There's about 3 or 4 of them I had listed. And, you know, there's things he's done all, you know, when he had these people on there that, he did the Madrasa story on Obama after CNN was running stories showing that it was a fake story. Beck still run it for another week. You know, but of course that didn't happen. Then they had the, Robin Mead, who's on the headline.
Yeah.
She did an hour-long interview with him. And I'll say, I figure she asked the first question and left the set, as far as I could tell.
They're just what I don't
rambled on.
Bless their pointy little heads and their cold jet black little hearts. CNN is determined to make a star of Glenn Beck.
Well, I wrote.
They're waiting for O'Reilly to die. You realize that?
Well, I wrote Kurtz a nice little note, and then they turn around and say, "Well, he's not going to be on until tomorrow on his talk." So I copied it, so I'll send it to him tomorrow. And it's like I said, you know, why don't you all try being something close to fair and balanced? I said, you know, that hour in between Glenn Beck, why don't you put somebody on there real nice, like somebody like a Mike Malloy. Let's see how long Glenn Beck stands upright.
Yeah, and watch Malloy's ratings go through the roof, I think. But hasn't Malloy somewhere along the way said it would be a cold day in hell when he ever went on television again?
Oh, yeah. But you know what I mean? Get somebody along his line. You know what I mean? Because I figure Malloy's right there in Atlanta. And like I said, he was a former CNN employee.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? So it's somebody they couldn't say isn't available. He's right down the road, folks. He knows where the Omni is. He can be there. But you know what I mean? Have you seen this other thing now? Apparently Romney and Thompson have figured out it's time to start attacking Rudy.
Well, and Thompson's figured out it's time to start attacking Fox, too.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, too. Because, you know what I mean? It's getting to that point where if they don't start attacking Rudy soon, you know, like I say, they're going to anoint Rudy. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. Did you catch the Rolling Stone article about Mike Huckabee?
Well, there's a love fest. Did you see the thing? Apparently, I think it was Matthews. I think it was on the Scarborough show. Went right after Huckabee because Huckabee apparently is cutting into Giuliani. I tell you what, I'm still just waiting for the day.
Well, he's going.
You see his Giuliani buttons.
Well, the Rolling Stone writer points out that Huckabee is going after places that really make the Republican rights bowels all go to water because he's talking about poor people.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, he's trying to sort of right-wing John Edwards' message.
Well, it's one of those things. The problem I have, though, is every time they talk about Huckabee, no one seems to remember all these other statements he's made. You know, this is Mike Huckabee who still doesn't believe in evolution. And I'm sure if you probably asked him about gravity, he's probably got some questions there, too.
Yeah, oh, I know. Mike Huckabee thinks that the world is younger than the recipe for beer.
Oh, did you hear the one that last week, the one that Olbermann really got on O'Reilly on? About O'Reilly talking about something in the Bible that was like 5,000 years ago, and he had him on his time. Because, like, O'Reilly had something. I can't remember what it was. It was something like he was saying it was 5,000 years ago, and apparently it was at the time of Jesus, and he's going, you know, he said, you know, Bill, read the book. It's 2,000 years ago, according to the book. You know? And O'Reilly apparently, they recovered for it. So, hey, it's sort of in that area. Oh, did you get the thing for Gene Lyons today?
No, I didn't.
At the website.
Talk
about the bloggers.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
Where the right wing's always trying to say, oh, these bloggers, you know, those wild-eyed lunatics.
Right.
He went down like the top four or five bloggers on the left, you know, with Josh Marshall and Eschaton and Bob Summerby and, you know, and since you're, you know, guys, these guys could be working at Newsweek or Time just as easily, you know, because these guys aren't, you know, outside looking for the black helicopters.
Right, right.
So, like how Josh Marshall's, I mean, you remember Josh Marshall's the one who broke, what was it, about 2-3 years ago, the story. I can't remember. Shoot, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Gene Lyons is a dandy good writer.
It's like I say, it's hard to find his thing because I go over to the Northwest Arkansas. Can't remember what the exact site.
Democrat Gazette, isn't it?
Yeah, and you got to hunt for it on there. But like I say, every week he comes out, and I tell you what, it's worth it to go read it. But oh, the other story, the story that makes your mind just kind of go, huh, is why you aren't hearing anything. Do you notice how there's almost no national coverage of what's going on down in Australia with Mr. Howard?
Well, I'm sure we'll hear some about that along about midnight when John fires it up down there. He's been on a 3-day power giggle as it stands.
But apparently, Mr. Howard's now out.
Oh, yeah, lost his own seat, lost his majority, and lost his own seat.
You know, that's the thing, you know, you're sitting there going, that'd be like, essentially, that would be like if they'd thrown Tony Blair out of office. And I'm sitting there going, why aren't we seeing this on the national news? Because essentially, it's like, say, they just, you know, it's a wonder when you're going to...
Well, you know, just for the fun of it, because I love the perspective that it lends, I did wander over just to see what the headline would be at CNN.com. You know, and you know how the website's set up. You know, the big lead story, and then little fine print, latest news.
What's our lead in yellow with black lettering? Yes, it'll catch your eyes.
Holloway suspect stays behind bars.
Oh God!
A judge Monday ordered Joran Vandersloot can be held in custody for an additional 8 days on the suspicion of manslaughter against U.S. teenager Natalie Holloway. Natalie Holloway. God, that story was going on before Terry Schiavo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it all runs together for me.
2.5 years. 2.5, maybe 3. And you're just kind of going, guys. It's like they've had some stories recently that were talking about this. The ex police officer Holloway,
Let's see. Maimed vet can golf on just one leg.
Well, glad for him.
I just lost it. Ivy League prof admits killing wife. But China's big plans for Moon, Mars, and beyond.
But you know, I mean, they were talking about, you know, like I say, the big white woman syndrome. That's just red meat to them. I mean, you know, when you look down the dial. Each night, every one of the channels carries a show that's going to cover that. On MSNBC, you can watch Abrams. He's going to cover that eventually somewhere in his show.
And see, there are things that I refused.
Two, three places.
Luke, there are things that I refuse to have anything to do with on this program. Mm-hmm. And one of them, beyond any shadow of a doubt, is Natalie Holloway. Frankly, another one is the latest poll out from Iowa. There's going to be a latest poll out from Iowa every 15 minutes from now until January 3rd, okay? Frankly, we started out talking about college football. It's going to be worse than the speculation over the national championship, even once it's established.
Well, it's exciting. You know what I mean? You find a poll out there that'll make you happy, whatever you want to be happy with. I mean, you can go from Rasmussen to Mason Dixon to, you know,
I'm doing it. See what you make me do? Zogby now says that Hillary Clinton, as of present polling nationally, this isn't just Iowa, nationally of about a sample of 10,000 people, one quarter of whom were independents, the other half were, the other part was half Republican, half Democrat, says that five Republican contenders would beat Senator Clinton, but that Senator Edwards and Senator Obama have narrow leads over them. What?
Well, and the thing of it is, okay, let's see now. If I can get, you know, four or five of the pundits on national news to attack Rudy for a week and a half, 2 weeks, I bet 10-1 I can drive his numbers down, too, temporarily. I mean, when you look and listen to the different shows right now, if I say that's what it's been since the debate before the last debate was attack Hillary. That's all it's been.
Yeah.
But
meanwhile, there on the CNN website, you'll be glad to know that tight pants and disco balls bring back 70s, and pajama-clad girl 11 escapes kidnapper.
It's like we've talked about before. You know, if it's in your state, fine, it's a news story. But if it isn't in your state, it's not a news story for those kind of stories.
No, they're not. I mean, there's lots of news out there right now. Let's see. I got one right here that I find rather distressing. Come on. Where is it? It was a story. Senator Levin is saying that the Democrats will not block further funding for the war.
Has he talked to Mr. Murtha?
Well, Mr. Murtha's in the House. Senator Levin's in the Senate.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, guys, let's all get on the same page, please. You know, there's some people up at the top of the group. Let's talk to them, please.
Yeah, but the 2.5-year-old body of little baby Grace has been identified. You know, get your priorities straight.
Here's the thing that got me was, here they're all now talking this last weekend. Oh, they're going to have this peace conference in Annapolis. And it's like, yeah, let's see now. You've invited Omar, who's pretty much on the outs in his own party in Israel. You've got Abbas, who speaks for maybe 25% of the Palestinians. You know, you let the Syrians come essentially as long as they agree to anything you say. The Iranians, well, we ain't even going to pretend they exist
until we kill them.
It's going to be a peace conference.
Yeah, because oh God. Yeah, Dick Cheney wants nothing to do with this thing in Annapolis. The Syrians finally bought on. You know, the Saudis agreed to come in. What do you want to bet there was a little handshake deal on that, Luke? Okay, we'll come in, but you don't say nothing more about the girl we're going to beat to death.
You know what? It's like, yeah, George will all amazingly forget to mention that anywhere in the whole thing. And I'm sure they've already told the reporters, you don't ask that question.
You know, and bless his heart. The Canadian ambassador, Josie Verner, Canada's minister responsible for the status of women, called the Saudi ruling barbaric and said it would only further violate the 19-year-old victim, said Canada would formally express its condemnation to the appropriate Saudi authorities. Meanwhile, down at Foggy Bottom, in the lair of the she-demon with the Ferragamo pumps, all it is crickets.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, say, you love some of these people that are like, oh, yeah, we're going to scream and holler. It's like, okay, but next time somebody says something in the UN, somebody stand up and say no. You know, y'all want to sit there and have somebody stand in front of you with a microphone and you say you don't like it. Good.
Well, let's see. The minister for women's status in Canada says
It's barbaric, and it will be condemned to the appropriate authorities. You know what we got from Sean McCormick, spokesman for the U.S. State Department? Dig this quote, Luke.
Okay. This is a part of judicial procedure overseas in the court of a sovereign country. That said, most would find this relatively astonishing that something like this happens, but we cannot get involved in specific court cases in Saudi Arabia dealing with its own citizens.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free.
I mean, if a guy says we make an appeal, say, send her over here, we'll take her. You know. Isn't that her punishment? She can come.
No, because then Tom Tancredo would threaten to have her arrested.
I know.
Because he'd like to, you know, he'd like to see her get 200 lashes if he could be the one who doles them out. Sick bastard.
Tell you what, it's one of those things when they're doing some of this stuff, you're just kind of sitting there looking at them going, you know, are you thinking at all? You know, please tell me somebody's mind is working. You know, it's one of these things, it's like, you know, it's like we say, we're sitting here in a circular firing squad. It's like, guys, you know, somebody say something at the right time. You know, next time George Bush is up at the UN, somebody ask him the question. You know, Mr. Bush, why do you support it?
Yeah, why do you... Yeah.
Turn away, go. Don't turn away from me. Answer the question.
Yeah, why do you hate women, George? Well, then again...
We don't want you to hate kids, so tell us that, too.
Yeah, why do you hate women, George? Never mind. We've seen your mother.
Displaced aggression. Yes, we understand that.
Mother! Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Now don't recycle, please. That's all we ask.
Norman?
I tell you what, let me let you go on, bud. I'm sure you got some more people on wanting to talk.
All right, you take care, Luke, and I will be vibrating at a steadily higher rate as Saturday approaches. If we can take care of Pitt, I'm going to be one happy camper.
The biggest one I'm still hoping for is I'm still wanting Hawaii not to drop down because they get one of the at-larges.
Yeah, they do.
If they stay just at 12. So I'm just waiting to see who gets...
If you guys beat LSU, I don't think you want Hawaii.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I'm just wanting to do that because I'm hoping that the one they bump out is Georgia.
Oh, Lord.
Because Georgia has to go in as a at-large.
Well, that's true. So, yeah, that could be interesting. Well, does Mizzou have a chance, do you think, against...
Well, they're still riding high because I tell you what, they made Kansas look like they didn't know what the word football meant.
Largely. Without a doubt. So, you know, I don't know if they can get past Oklahoma or not. I just don't.
Well, we'll just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope and see what happens.
Well, there's no doubt there's going to be fun in Atlanta Saturday. There is going to be fun in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully big time fun in Morgantown too.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
You all should have a good time from that. Pitt's had a mediocre year from what I've...
4-7, yeah. But records go out the window for this game. It's, you know, it's one of those.
We'll just keep our fingers crossed.
All right. You take care, Luke. See ya.
Bye
now. All right. Quick break, and we'll come back. Got a little bit of time for a couple of phone calls. If you want to jump in, you're more than welcome to. This is listener-supported, liberal, progressive, fearless radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Is that Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
All aboard!
Okay, we're back. 15 minutes before the hour. Brand new, fresh, Strictly Confidential with the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold, on the way shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, you know, last week wasn't a fluke. It will continue at 11 p.m. Eastern after Peter's show. Join us for the horn section, free-forming horn hosts. For about an hour. We had a blast this last week. I love it. It really energizes me at a time when I'm, you know, usually not so energetic. I got to admit, I came out of that break a little goofy there. And of course, at midnight, we continue onward with the deliriously happy John Fox, who will, if he's not celebrating and practically dancing in his Sydney broadcast studio over the election results from this past weekend, well, I'll be surprised. And, no, I got to admit, I was trying to do a little bit more detail because I got an email on the Saudi thing, and yeah, the men were punished. And by the way, it gets worse. The woman who will be receiving the 200 lashes, and it's been raised to 200 from an original 90 because she had the temerity to complain about it. It was just 90 lashes. Now it's 200 because she appealed her case. Of course, her lawyer was disbarred for appealing it. Ah, civilization. She met a man in his car because he had a photograph of her which he had promised to return. See, women can't give out photographs. I don't know, that steals or sold or something insane. So she was going to get a photograph back. She met the man in the car. The pair, both the man and the woman, were attacked by a gang of 7 men who raped them both. Raped them both repeatedly. The guy that had the photograph, he's getting 90 lashes too. Of the gang, there were 7 of them. 4 were convicted of kidnapping and sentenced to between 1 and 5 years in prison, and between 80 and 1,000 lashes. Meanwhile, the victim was, you know what she's getting the 200 lashes and the 6 months in prison for? You know what she was convicted of? Wait for it. Illegal mingling in the barbaric state of Saudi Arabia. Illegal mingling gets the skin flayed off your back and you stuffed in a hellhole for 6 months if you happen to have had the misfortune of being born female in that miserable, misbegotten, sad, pathetic pisshole of a corner of the planet. Dear God. It's not enough she was raped. She was guilty of illegal mingling because there is a cultural recognition that men in Saudi Arabia cannot control themselves or their sexual urges. That they are, in fact, beasts. Wow. Just wow. Farida Dave is a researcher in the Women's Rights Division of Human Rights Watch. She said, a courageous young woman faces lashing in prison for speaking out about her efforts to find justice. This verdict not only sends victims of sexual violence the message that they should not press charges, but in effect offers protection and impunity to the perpetrators. What were those words again? Our employee, the guy you and I pay, Sean McCormick, little right-wing spokesman, freak.
This is a part of a judicial procedure overseas in the court of a sovereign country. That said, most would find this relatively astonishing that something like this happens.
Relatively astonishing, Mr. McCormick? Relatively? Can't you say one stinking phrase in English without muddying it up with your weasel words?
Relatively astonishing.
No, relatively astonishing, Sean McCormick, is, you know, snowfall in August in Palm Beach. Relatively astonishing is, you know, when your cat gives birth to a two-headed kitten. When you're talking about a 19-year-old girl getting the hide flayed off of her back by barbarians in the sand, the word is disgusting. The word is barbaric, Sean. You could have used barbaric, too. Your Canadian counterpart used barbaric because your Canadian counterpart actually appears to have some moral integrity, you repig-licking... So we'll just walk away from that story for a little bit. Awkward. Bush meets Gore at White House. Big deal. Oh, here's a lead-in story for Strictly Confidential tonight. You listening, Peter? Headline, Official, bride, groom, stopped in Iraq, actually terror suspects. Soldiers manning a checkpoint near Baghdad stopped a wedding convoy to find that the purported bride and groom were wanted terror suspects, an Iraqi defense ministry official said Monday. Upon inspecting the convoy, soldiers found a stubbly-faced man, Haider al-Bahadi, decked out in a white bride's dress and veil. Bahadi was wanted on terror-related charges, as was his groom, Abbas al-Dabi, the official said. Two other terror-related suspects were detained as well. The soldiers became suspicious of the convoy because its members, save the bride, were all male, and because one of the cars in the convoy did not heed orders to stop. I wonder if he's actually there for a little quick lead-in. Peter, are you there?
Absolutely, yes, I'm here, Bob. Good evening.
Good evening. Official, bride, groom stopped in Iraq, actually terror suspects. That's right. Drag bridal wear has made its way to the Iraq war.
I am so pleased. And if there are any Iraqis out there that need the web addresses of any of the transvestite shopping sites, I'll be glad to give them to them.
Well, God bless you. I knew you'd be there for me. So, what was it? We had the imam escaping the Red Mosque in Pakistan.
That was priceless, wasn't it?
In a burqa, and he was only outed because he was wearing the wrong kind of shoes.
Yes, it was, and it says
you just
a lot
don't
about
wear...
wearing sensible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sensible shoes with your burqa. I mean, really. My God, is this just the most upside down, misogynistic, butched up, twisted culture that ever the American people have had anything to do with?
Well, it is, but in so many ways it mirrors the fundamentalists in the United States, except that we're not quite as. They just don't have quite the power. Over there, you see that the government has completely given way to a theocracy, and here they're damn sure trying.
and the guys who raped, they raped the woman and the man. You know, nice place, Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think
and
I'll...
the 200 lashes, that was just over the top.
And the guy got 90.
Oh, he got 90?
The guy who got raped got 90, and the only reason he didn't get 200 is he didn't appeal it. He's just going to take it like a man.
That's incredible. And, you know, stuff like that can't exist forever. I was reading today, you know, anytime someone is desperately trying to enforce fundamental values, it means that they're already completely lost touch with reality, and they're not willing to change. Religion's not willing to move on. So, actually, when this sort of thing begins occurring... the war's already over, and they've lost. It's just they're still in power, but not for long.
Yeah, and they're going to make people suffer for as long as they can hang desperately on. Yeah, yeah. Well, I just had to bring you on for a second for that, Peter. I apologize, but you know, it just said. I mean, that was just a story that said, you know, oh my God.
Well, no, I was glad to come on a couple of minutes early. I was just sitting here going, oh, my God, I'm going to go live in a few minutes. Oh, my God, I might as well do it on the air with you. Oh, my God.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Peter. Talk to you in a little bit.
Thank you.
Bye. Okie dokie. See, I promised a brand new live Strictly Confidential, and there you have the proof. Peter Godbold is anxiously awaiting the... rolling of the fabulous Strictly Confidential intro music. So that's it. You know, there was other stuff that I didn't get to, but you know what? Maybe Peter and John and I or whomever will get to it during the horn section. Because there's, you know, God knows there's plenty of creepy stuff in the world right now. In the meantime, though, it's awfully good to be back after the couple of days off. And I'm glad you could join me and spend a little time putting up with my rantings and my ravings. I really feel weird about tonight because I don't like just, you know, reducing entire cultures to barbarity. But what the hell are you supposed to say about something like that? This most virtuous country is following God's law by beating the skin off a woman's back? God, would you mind striking them all with, you know, like the biggest lightning bolt you got, please? Just to show them that, you know, that ain't you? But, you know, nah, ain't gonna happen. Just like amputees who fall asleep praying for new limbs never get a new limb from God either. Just don't happen.
because he's not in that business. Oh, well, so much for that. Thanks to all of you for joining me, like I said. If you've never been by the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, for heaven's sakes, you should try it. It's a lot of fun. And thanks to John Fox, our engineer, to Peter Godbold, our IT professional. And always, always, always. Oh, by the way, keep getting well, Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. And always, RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. The number two ranking Republican senator plans to step down. Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi will resign by the end of the year, but is not exactly saying why. With 5 years to go in his current term, his powerful position on Capitol Hill could go to one of several colleagues, including John Kyle of Arizona or Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. President Bush greeted former Vice President Al Gore to the Oval Office for a private meeting and the traditional photo with the American 2007 Nobel Award winner. Also at tonight's state dinner, Mr. and Mrs. Bush will host diplomatic representatives from more than 40 countries who will attend tomorrow's Middle Eastern Peace Conference in Annapolis, Maryland. Mr. Bush also signed a deal setting the foundation for a potential long-term U.S. troop presence in Iraq, with a round of details still to be negotiated.
Iraq would gain full responsibility for internal security, and U.S. troops would be relocated to bases outside the cities. Iraqi officials foresee a long-term presence of around 50,000 troops. That's down from the current figure of more than 160,000. Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton is now running behind the top five Republican presidential contenders in general election matchups. That's according to a new poll. Senator Barack Obama and former Senator John Edwards both hold narrow leads over those same GOP contenders. Twin suicide bombings in Pakistan killed more than 20 policemen, ratcheting up pressure on President General Musharraf. 40 people were wounded, many of them critically. Vice President Dick Cheney has an irregular heartbeat, according to his doctors. The abnormality discovered today during a routine doctor's visit. He's undergoing further medical evaluation and will require moderate outpatient treatment. A powerful typhoon has slammed into northeastern Philippines, flooding 50 villages and killing at least 10 people. Two moderate earthquakes hit central Indonesia. That was over Sunday night. Early reports show three are dead, 45.